Second Chronicles 15, we're going to be reading at verse number 1. Second Chronicles 15, verse 1 says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. In those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. A nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex him with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, the strangers with them, out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and this example we have from the past of those that sought you with all their heart. And we just pray that we may learn from their example, learn from the teachings of your word, that we would seek you with all of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 declares that we are to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of our hearts are the issues of life. And physically speaking, we recognize that to be true, that the problems with the organ that pumps blood through our bodies threaten our health and could unexpectedly shorten our lives. So if at all possible, we want to detect heart problems as soon as we can so that necessary steps can be taken. And we also want to live in such a way that our heart health is maintained. But we realize in that passage in Proverbs 4 that Solomon is not speaking of our physical heart. He's speaking of our hearts in terms of the kind of spiritual and emotional center of our being. But yet, we do realize that the necessity to detect and deal with those kind of heart problems are just as critical as with our physical heart problems we may have, because we can do a lot of damage to ourselves and others, both in the now and in eternity, if our hearts are not where they should be. And of course, God knows our hearts, and he knows, really it's something we understand. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? The only one that can is the Lord. He's the one that searches the heart, tries the reins, and knows exactly what our issues might be. But it is something that he doesn't want to just keep it a secret. He wants to reveal to us the true condition of our hearts, so that by his grace our hearts might be made new, might be transformed, and made right and pure and clean in his sight. And so God gives us his word as our heart monitor, that as we read it, as the Holy Spirit brings conviction to our hearts, we come to see, okay, this is an area that my heart is not right with the Lord, that I need to make right. And as we learn to pinpoint the heart issues that we have by the Spirit's promptings, then we can start dealing with those things so that we don't miss out on God's blessings and fruitfulness and joy and fulfillment in our lives. And the problem is, of course, is that we we enter in this life as sinners, and our hearts are corrupted by sin. And so there's a lot of issues that have to be dealt with. It isn't like we start with a healthy heart and then it's kind of made unhealthy through things. We actually start with an unhealthy heart to begin with in many ways. And so God has a lot of work to do, and he's committed to doing that work. But it's the thought that we need to submit to that work he's seeking to do. We need to submit our hearts to his inspection. And there's going to be some things he reveals to us we don't want to admit that are there. But as he does so, we can then learn to surrender our hearts to him who is the great physician, so he can bring us the change to our hearts that we need. And so last week we looked at a serious issue of the heart that we all can have, and that was being hard-hearted, where we have lost our sensitivity to God's promptings in our lives, to the needs of others around us, and we can become calloused and unfeeling, and we don't want to get in that position in life, because we are the ones that suffer the most when we are in such a position. And so we looked at ways of kind of keeping our hearts tender towards the Lord and towards others. But for today, we want to consider another area in which we can have a heart issue. And not only can we get hard-hearted, we can also grow to become half-hearted. And so what do I mean by being half-hearted? To be half-hearted means to really be lackadaisical to everything that we do, to be lacking in motivation and effort, where we don't give something our all. We just kind of mail it in. We do kind of the minimum that is necessary, and there's not any kind of excitement. There's not any kind of enthusiasm for what we're actually working at. And I think all of us have probably seen someone doing a job half-heartedly, where they're just doing enough to get by, enough to keep them from getting fired, but that's about it. That they take probably twice as long as they probably could to finish a task, and they seem to be looking more at their watch or at their phone than at the project that's in front of them. And they're not taking any pride in what they do. And so when we see someone like that, especially if that's a person that is working for us, we would naturally tend to get irritated or frustrated with someone with such an attitude. And that person may, if we are employing them, they may not be employed for that much longer. But the reality is that when it comes to the things of God, our relationship with him, our devotion towards him, our service towards him, we often find ourselves guilty of being half-hearted. And generally speaking, I would say that with all of us, it's not a hard attitude that we started with in our Christian life. Because when we first trusted in Christ, we first got saved, we were full of enthusiasm. We loved God, we appreciated all he did for us, and we just wanted to love him back with all of our hearts. And so we wanted to, any chance we got to read the Bible or to spend time with God's people, we did it. Anything that we could do for the Lord in terms of service, we wanted to be there to do that. And we just had this desire to serve him with all of our hearts for all of our days. But we realize, with all of us, I think, that there's times where that enthusiasm, for whatever reason, has waned. And to the point where reading our Bible and praying, that becomes a chore and a burden to us, that we, what used to be a joy now becomes a weariness, that we we may try to be faithful and serve the Lord, but a lot of times our trying doesn't seem to be that much. And especially if there's any difficulty or opposition, it seems that we give up quite easily when things get difficult, or when things happen in life that some of the first things that fall beside are our walk with the Lord. And we want to ask ourselves, when we look at that and we think of that in our life, why does this happen to us as Christians? How do we get to a place where we're half-hearted in our walk with the Lord, in our service to the Lord? And you think about it, it's not due to a lack of motivating factors, because there is a lot that should motivate us to wholeheartedly follow God. God, for one, is certainly worth following wholeheartedly, because we just think of his character and what he has done for us, that he is so kind to us, he is merciful, he is compassionate, he gave his life for us, he daily gives us so many things that we can richly enjoy. And as well, we could think that all of us have done plenty of dumb or wicked things that really either God should have smitten us for doing that, or he should have just stepped back and let us destroy ourselves. And we think lately, just some that's in the news as of late, is that there's teenagers daring each other to eat Tide Pods. It's this Tide Pod challenge to see if they're brave enough to do that. And of course, Tide Pods are these little compact things full of soap, and it's not healthy. It's very poisonous, and people can get very sick and even die because of it. And so we look at that as adults, and we say, well, why would they do that? That's so dumb. But yet, as we say that, the Holy Spirit kind of convicts us and brings us back to memories when we were teenagers of dumb things that we did, that it's like, yeah, if we could have easily been killed doing that, it might have been being a daredevil or something like that, or trying something that was foolish. But yet we're still here, and God, we look at it as the mercy of God. It's of the mercies of the Lord that we're not consumed, because we all do some dumb things as we grow up. And yet we're still here, and we can be thankful to God for that, for his mercy to us. But not only is he merciful to us, he's also tremendously gracious. He gives us so many blessings that we can never earn or say that we're deserving of. And just like, for one example, just the fact that we can be adopted and become a child of God and enjoy the blessings of his salvation, that's just so tremendously amazing. And as well, not only is God a God of love, he's also a God of holiness, that you couldn't ask for a better person to serve or to work under or to follow. He's not going to short us wages. He's not going to forget the work that we do. And the dividends that he gives are not just for here on earth. They are for eternity. And so we think of it, that God has time and again shown himself to be faithful, shown himself to be worthy of our devotion, that he has done all that should be necessary to win our hearts so that we would cleave to him in love and give him our all. And as well, there's plenty of other reasons why we should serve God wholeheartedly. We do recognize that it is a command of the Lord in the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 speaks of this. It's also repeated later by Jesus in Matthew 22:37. But he says that we are to, let me just find that quickly. Matthew 6 and verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. With every fiber of our being, we're supposed to give our love to the Lord. That is what he commands. And we think of that command and the command to love our neighbors itself. Upon that hang all the law and the prophets. That's how we could sum up all of what God expects of us and desires of us to do. And we read further of that in Deuteronomy 10, in verse number 12. It says, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's what he wants us to do. That it's not an all and unreasonable command, because he is God, and we should do what he asks. It is for our good. And really, what we're doing is God first loved us, so we're simply reciprocating his love to us. And so that should motivate us in so many different ways to obey him. But as well as we look in the Bible, we see that there's plenty of individuals where we find that they were honored by God and they were blessed by God because they wholly followed the Lord with all their hearts. Prime example we think of is King David, of how he was blessed and his lineage was blessed as well because he followed the Lord with all his heart. And we find other ones, King Jehoshaphat, he was given that commendation by others, and as well King Josiah, that these were men where they didn't just serve God haphazardly or half-heartedly, that they were in it to the full. And we think of Josiah, of how he did everything he can to bring revival to his nation, to bring his people back to God. And he served the Lord with all his heart. But then when he died, of course, his heart was in it, but the heart of his nation was not. And they quickly turned back to their idols and the destruction that was prophesied against them for that king to pass. And so we see that, but on the other side, of course, we recognize there's plenty of other examples in the Bible of those who did not serve the Lord with all their heart, and they suffered as a result. Jeroboam is spoken of against by a prophet that he did not serve the Lord with all his heart. He served other idols and things, and Jehu as well, that God used Jehu to take out Baal worship out of the northern kingdom. But yet once he got into power, he didn't decide to serve the Lord with all the heart. He still kind of did his own thing. He still continued to work wickedly. And although he had a bit of a lineage after him of his descendants that were on the throne, they soon were deposed as well. And so as we look into God's word, we can find there's plenty of carrots and sticks that should spur our enthusiasm, spur our devotion to God, to his word, and to his work. That we can say that there is a diligence that is due of us. There is a drive and a focus that should characterize our lives. That each morning that we should desire to spend time with the Lord. Each morning that we should be seeking his will and seeking to live for him each day. And that's what should be part of our lives, but instead, often we find ourselves to be nonchalant towards the things of God, that we'd have no passion for God as we once did. And when we find ourselves in that position, that's when we have to say, wait a minute, something is not right with this picture. I should have a greater heart for God, the things of God, than I do. And when we have that, we identify that, we want to get to the bottom of that. And indeed, we want to recognize that it's not a problem of personality that we lack the ability to get motivated and to be passionate about things, because we recognize that we can get fired up for all kinds of different things in this life that don't really matter. If it's the playoffs and our team is in the playoffs, we can be totally devoted to watching the big game. We can get all excited about a little chunk of rubber going into a net or a pigskin being carried or tossed or booted into the end zone. And we can get totally immersed in various hobbies to the point of them becoming unhealthy, even bank account draining obsessions. And that can be all that we want to think about. It can consume us. And when something in this earth becomes important to us, we have no trouble seeking that with our whole heart, that we give it our full devotion. And we think of so many different people in this world, if there's something that they're seeking after, whether it's maybe athletic success, whether it's business success, whether it's getting to a certain level of fame or fortune, that people are all in and they dedicate themselves to being successful in that pursuit that they have chosen. And so we can do that. It's not that we can't, but our problem is so often is we get all fired up for the wrong things, that there's all this other stuff that takes our attention instead of the Lord. And this gets us to the real hard issue, because when we're half-hearted in the things of God, it's because we've ended up giving pieces of our heart to so many other things, and so we only have a portion of our heart to give to God. As Ezekiel speaks of in Ezekiel 14 verse 3, he says that we tend to set up idols in our hearts, that it isn't something that we see much anymore in this life, or in this time in which we live, of individuals that make gods of wood and stone and bow down unto them. But there are idols that we have, and it's in our heart that really we think of it, the idols that these individuals in the past have made are really just representative of what was going on in their heart. And it's the thing is that there's things that God should have first place, that he talks about as one of the first commandments, that thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it's kind of the thing, there's two thoughts in that. One, that God should always be first. That he should always get first place, first priority in our lives. But secondly, we think that when he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, it's also the thought that there should be no other gods in his presence. That he alone is worthy of our worship, worthy of our devotion. That there is a sense of how we are, have a relationship with him that is to be unique, that is shared with no one else. And so we want to realize that there's things that we can seek after, and they may not be evil things, they may be good things in many ways, but they can get in the way of what should be the main thing. That more than anything else, we need to be seeking the Lord and following the Lord and doing his work, that when we pass into eternity, it isn't going to matter what what we were able to produce or what we were became famous for if we haven't been serving the Lord and giving him our all. That's not going to be what's truly of value. And so we want to realize that. And God sometimes helps us in pruning some of these things, taking them out of our lives so that we can be more fruitful. But as well, we sometimes need to recognize, okay, are these other things, are they taking part of my devotion, part of my heart, part of my time away from God so that I can't give him what he deserves? And it's being wary of that. Because I don't think any of us as believers ever intend to get so distracted in our focus and dulled in our motivation that we just lose our enthusiasm for serving God. It's something that happens bit by bit, little by little. And it's we can really chalk it up to the deceitfulness of our own sin-corrupted hearts, because our flesh knows that however much of our hearts can be given under other things, then there's that much less of our hearts that can be given to God. And so all of us have this tendency. And so we need to guard ourselves against it and seeking to reverse the trend, where instead of having these things creep in that take away from our devotion to God, to say, okay, what can I take out that'll enable me to have more time and focus to give to the Lord? And when you think about it, that's really the whole focus of what the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification is within us. To have us give more of our hearts to God so that he will be able to fill us and empower us and bless us all the more. And so as God's people, we need to have the same determination as the people of the Southern Kingdom did in the days of Asa, as recorded here in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. That we read, that we see of how the prophet came to King Asa and encouraged him to do right, and he laid out the past of there's times where they sought the Lord, and the Lord was found them help, but then when they forsook God, that they were vexed with all adversity. And so he says, be strong, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be reward. He says, don't give up, just get at it, get into it, and get focused. And so we see that with Asa, that he took courage, and all the idols that were in the kingdom, he went out to try to get rid of them and eliminate them. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord, the place where he offered sacrifices. He got that back to being in use again. And then he gathered all the people together, and we find that they made offerings to the Lord, and then they entered in the covenant that they would seek the Lord of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And so you think of that, of just as we look at this and we seek to apply it to our lives, that we start to take stock. Are there any idols in my life? Or are there any things that I'm giving chunks of my heart to that should belong to God alone? That we say, okay, this has to go. This is getting in the way. This needs to be cut back. I can't eliminate this, but it's getting to be too much in my life. Because I need to give God my whole heart, give him my full effort and devotion. And that we learn to give an offering, not of bulls and goats, but of ourselves, that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, that we say, well, Lord, you saved me, you purchased me with your own blood, I am yours, and whatever you want for me to do, I'm submitting my life to you to be used. That we have that desire. And we pledge, as they did, to that they would seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And that's what we want to do, is to have that determination that we don't want to just know facts about God. We don't just want to have our heads full of different theological concepts. We want to have a relationship with the God of heaven, the one who loved us, the one who gave his life for us, that we want to experience him in a way that we've met, in a deeper way than we've maybe ever experienced before. We want to learn to have a vibrant relationship with him, of how we can actually feel his presence, that he can walk with us and guide us through each day. That's what we desire, or should desire. And we see a promise given in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, that God says this to his people. He says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And that is the thought, that God wants us to find him. He wants to make himself known to us. He wants to enter into a close relationship with us. But he says, you need to seek me with all your heart. That if it's going to be half-hearted, you're not going to find me. You're not going to get as close to me as you could. And so we want to learn that. And we see that with what is testified here in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 15. All Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. That's the truth, the promise that we have, that we can claim, that when we seek the Lord with all our heart, he will be found of us. He's not going to hide from us, but he's waiting for us to give the full measure of our devotion in our desire of seeking him. So we need to seek the Lord with all our hearts. As we've already looked at, we need to love the Lord with all our hearts to show our desire towards him, our wanting to love him, to follow him and be devoted to him. As it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. That we need to learn to do that, where we put our faith in him alone. We know that for our salvation, that we can't trust in what Jesus did on the cross plus our good works. It has to be faith in Christ alone. And through the rest of our Christian life, as we learn to walk by faith and not by sight, we need to learn to trust in Him with all our heart, that we don't need to have a backup plan if God doesn't come through. That, and sometimes what we do that, well, I'm going to trust the Lord to provide, but then I'm going to make sure I have this kind of nest egg and savings that's going to kind of tide me through if something goes bad. Like, yes, it's wise, but we want to realize that we need to trust in the Lord and not in our own things. Because sometimes that's what happens, is we think, well, I'm going to invest this money and it's going to pay these great dividends, and then the stock market crashes and we can lose it all. But if we trust in the Lord for provision, for His guidance, we know that we'll never be ashamed. And as well as we see Joshua command in Joshua 22 and verse 15, we are to serve the Lord with all of our hearts. That we realize that we have been called to His service to fulfill His work on this world. And so it's not something that we do it haphazardly, that we give it our best effort, that whatever our hand finds to do for the Lord, we do it with our might. And whether it's doing something small, like cleaning things up or helping someone with just basic things of life, or whether it's getting out of our comfort zone and sharing the gospel with someone else, that we do it with all our hearts. And finally, we need to praise Him with all our hearts, as it speaks of in Psalm 111 in verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." That He has done great things for us. That we want to be able to proclaim His glory to others. And we should, because He has done great things for us. And so throughout our lives, that we would be a thankful people, that we would be praising His name. And just even by our enthusiasm alone in that, that people would recognize how much God means to us. And so we recognize today that God is worthy of all of our love, our devotion, our focus and effort. And so He deserves to have all of our heart, not just bits and pieces, and definitely not the leftovers. And so may we as His people turn our hearts towards Him and love Him and serve Him and praise Him with our whole hearts. And as we do so, may we wade ever deeper in the blessings of His love, His presence, and His service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word, and we just pray that You would help us, Lord, that we would not allow ourselves to be distracted in our devotion to You, but that we would love You and serve You with all of our hearts. We just pray You would help us as we seek to surrender to Your will and to Your guidance in our lives, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one last hymn before we conclude today.